Good morning. I'm up here again. This time I'll be reading scripture this morning. We'll be reading from Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. So if you want to take a moment to turn in your Bible, or you can follow along on the screens. There we go. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. This is the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
Before how good you are, for your many blessings in our lives, and for your promises that are faithful and true. And so today, as we receive from your word, we just pray, oh God, that you will touch each one of our hearts in a powerful and special way today, to encourage us and to challenge us, to help us to understand more about who you are and who you have created us to be. So open our ears, open our eyes, that we may see and hear from you this day. We pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I invite you to take your seats. God is good. All the time. Amen. Well, we are now in our third week of our Immerse series, reading through the first five books of the Bible. And we have finished a little over half of the book of Exodus. So we're going to be taking a look at Exodus, what you have done this past week. Of course, Exodus has covered a lot of ground, and there's still some to go. And through our 3 weeks, we've covered a lot of ground, the whole book of Genesis. And then with this first part of Exodus, and this first part of Exodus, I know you and many, many people, not even Christians, right, know a lot about what's happened in this portion of the scripture reading. We have been made well aware of this part of the story called the Exodus, the children of Israel coming out of slavery, being set free, liberated. Movies like The Ten Commandments, we've got The Prince of Egypt cartoon, and many others that have certainly introduced a wide amount of audience to this material. There are a lot of things in this that we could talk about. We could talk about Moses and his call and the burning bush experience, and Moses, who was a reluctant leader, reluctant to accept this call from God. This came up in the groups that I'm a part of, our small group meetings, that was one thing that stood out that many people had not really understood before. Most of us see Moses and the burning bush, and we think Moses just kind of got up and went forward and took care of business. But he was a rather reluctant leader there at the beginning, and has a change in his leadership abilities and becomes a very, you know, courageous leader, which is the person that we remember, of course. There's a lot of other things that we could talk about in this with the Passover and with the Israelites crossing over the Red Sea, crossing through on dry ground, and then the Egyptians being covered with the waters and destroying the army. All of those could be wonderful topics to discuss. But today I want to talk to you about what happens right here at the very beginning of this book as it opens up. It's this portion here about the Israelites, God remembering them in their time of trial, in their time of crying out to him. This moment that they, at the end of 400 years of slavery, find themselves crying out to God. And so that's where we're at in the Bible reading. If you have your Immerse book, it's on page 87. If you're using your traditional Bible today, it's Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now, one of the things I do want to say as I get into this portion about slavery and God redeeming his people from slavery, I just want to remind us that we at First Covenant Church know that God wants to set everyone free. He does not want people enslaved. We had a massive civil war in these United States over this issue, but slavery still exists. And so it's wild, it's unbelievable to think that it still exists, but it does. And we have a group here at First Covenant Church. You might have seen the billboard out here that kind of keeps you up to date on the problem and the issues. Even in Rockford, slavery, human trafficking happens. And I'm just going to ask my lovely wife to come up, who is at Rockford University. A professor there, and they have an event coming up tomorrow on human trafficking. And I just thought before we get into this part here about God's promises that she could just introduce you to an opportunity tomorrow to partner with a group at Rockford University that also wants to address this issue of human trafficking. So she's going to just
really briefly, I'm Genevieve Dibley, if we haven't met yet. Sorry, and his wife, among other things. Probably that's the primary thing that I do, is keeping control of this guy. But we, here in Rockford, we are in a unique position. Rockford is ranked number two for human trafficking in Illinois. Illinois is number eight in the United States. So we have a significant problem. We have law enforcement is really leaning in. The judicial system here in Rockford is leaning in. They are looking for community partners. And some of the places they look to is communities of faith, and the Society for the Abolition of Modern Day Slavery is one of those groups that they really are looking at. We have been partnering with the university in what's kind of a nascent human trafficking initiative that's getting off the ground. And the first wave of that is a student group, RAMS, there's their acronym, Regents Against Modern Slavery, and they are holding an interactive debate for the university campus and for the community to come and discuss issues of prostitution and some of the strategies that we're looking at as we try and move from people who are just shocked and horrified by a problem to a community that can think critically and look for solutions. And so that's what we're doing tomorrow, and that's at 5:00 in Severston Hall in Scarborough. So you are more than welcome to come. We would love to have you come and just support them as they try and get their, kind of launch their group. So thanks.
All right, so tomorrow, 5:00, Scarborough Hall. Thank you. So here on page 87, or Exodus chapter 2, just as a reminder, I know we already heard the passage read this morning. Thank you for that wonderful scripture reading. But as we look at this, I'm going to read out of the Immerse translation, which is the New Living Translation. Years passed, and the king of Egypt died. There had been many kings who had died, okay, over these 400 years, all right? There were years that had passed, the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered. We're going to focus mostly on this particular phrase. He remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. So it says here that he remembered his promise, all right? Do you remember, it was just 2 weeks ago, but you may not, but if you have been reading this, it may stand out in your mind. 2 weeks ago, we read this promise that God made to Abraham, and it carried on to Isaac and to Jacob, all right? This is in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, God visits Abraham. He's already given him the promise at first in chapter 12 to tell Abraham that I'm going to make you into a great nation. I know you don't have any children, but I'm going to make you into a great nation. Many years have passed, and Abraham is concerned. He doesn't have any children still. God made a promise, but there are no children. And so Abraham thinks that his servant is going to be the one who's going to inherit the promise from God, and that God's promise is going to go through the line of that servant. And so Abraham's like, God, I can't believe what's going to happen here. You know, I don't really want this servant, but I guess if that's what you have in mind. And God says, nope, it's not going to be through your servant, Eliezer. It's going to be through you and Sarah, and there will be a miracle. You are going to have a baby. And Abraham says, well, how can I trust your word? I mean, it's been a while already. I didn't know you come, like, you know, most of my life until you showed up when I was 70 and didn't have any children. And you make this promise that I will have children, and I don't have any children. And it's been a couple decades, and I don't have any children yet. So how can I trust you? And God says, this is how you can trust me. I want you to grab a heifer and a goat and a ram and a pigeon and a dove. And I want you to make an offering and a sacrifice to me. And I will show you how. I will show you why you should trust me. So I want to do a little bit of a demonstration here regarding this. I'm going to select, if I could get 8 people and you want to come down, I got one already. I've got somebody avoiding eye contact over here. come on down, Corey. All right. Sarah, you've been up here already a lot. You might as well just come up. Okay, so I got 3 so far. Who else can I grab? Who else? Okay, Sarah. Great, another Sarah. Moses, come on down. All right. And Sue is 2, 4, 6, 7. Is that right? 2, 4, 6, 7. I need one more. Oh, come on. Keith, you're already. Oh, no, but go ahead. Mary. Mary got up. Come on. Well, I just could call on Keith because he's my guy. All right. Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to assign each of you something. All right. You, last but not least. No. Just hold it. Okay. All right. Okay, so you've got this one. We're going to take this here. You hold on to that. Okay, you hold on to this one. Okay, sorry, Keith, there's some stuffing that's falling down here. All right, here we go. Okay, all right. Maybe I have more than I needed. That's fine, we'll make it work. Okay, here you go. You want to sit back down? All right, go ahead, Sue. Here, I'm going to give the scissors to you, all right, Moses? All right. Yeah, okay. So, God says, I want you to sacrifice, cut in half, the 2 animals. Oh, no, you know what? I think I do need you, Sue. Come back up here. Okay, good. Yeah, Sue, sorry, I forgot. Okay, so, Moses, come on down. So, I want you to cut the animals in half, all right? So they're already started here. So go ahead. You want it? Can you make it? No. There you go. Cut it.
Oh, I thought it was fully cut.
No, sorry. Can you make it? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. These are tough scissors. Here we go. Sorry, Moses. There we go. All right. Moses, you're still going to be involved. You want to? Here we go. Got one more. Can you do this one?
Yeah, probably.
All right. You got to get all the way in. There you go. There we go. All right. Good job, Moses. Okay. Now, Sue, I'm going to need you down here. And Moses, I'm going to need you over here. All right. Oh, let's. Okay. Try to keep those in. All right. Here we go. Well, this is not working out as good as I thought. All right. Moses, you hold this half. You hold this half. All right. Sue, come over here. You're going to hold this half. Okay. And Moses holds, okay, cross. All right, I'm going to hold this half. Sarah, you come down here. All right? All right. Now, these have been cut in half, but 2 of them are not supposed to be cut in half, the pigeon and the dove. All right, now that's not a pigeon, that's not a dove, but we're going to pretend. All right, none of these represent the real animals, okay? So these have been cut in half. That's what God said to Moses, He said to Abraham, cut them in half. Now look across from the person. You got your partner here. All right. Now, God puts Abraham to sleep. And while Abraham is asleep, guess what happens? A pot goes through the pieces. All right, keep going all the way. Yeah, there you go. Keep going all the way. Perfect. Done. Did they do a good job? They did a great job, right? Okay, you can go back to your spots. Just set them right down here. Yeah. Yeah. He looks fine. Keith, I'll help clean this up, all right? Okay. Oh, no, and that's supposed to go back together. You want them separated as best as possible. Here we go. All right, we'll even show even better. Okay. So, now you're like, what on earth? Is that a strange thing? That would be strange, right? Because we are like living 3,000 years after Abraham, okay? But in Abraham's day, this was a very common practice of how people make a promise to each other, how people make a contract with each other, okay? What used to happen back in Abraham's day is that there would be two individuals, usually a greater king and a lesser king, all right? And usually the greater king conquers the lesser king, and they have to make a treaty together, all right? Where the greater king says, I will let you live, okay, and I might even use you, is what's called a vassal, or kind of like a territorial governor. I'll still let you have some power, but I'm really the one in ultimate control, all right? So you're going to pay taxes to me. You're going to give me people for an army. Anything I want from you, lesser king, if I want something from you, the greater king is saying, if I want something from the lesser king, I'm going to get it, all right? I'm going to keep you in a little bit of power. So then they have to sign this contract to agree to these terms, all right? And what usually would happen is that the lesser king would, they would cut up these animals, all right? And the lesser king would walk between the animals. And by walking through the animals, the lesser king is saying this, if I break any part of this contract, if I break any part of this treaty, may it happen to me as to these animals. You, king, greater king, you can slaughter me and cut me in half. All right? If I break any part of the promise, any part of the contract, or this treaty. All right? Now, sometimes the greater king would also come through. But never did a greater king go through without the lesser king going through. And most often, it was just the lesser king who was responsible for the treaty or keeping the promises of the treaty. And if violating those promises says, may it happen to me as to these animals. So, Abraham says, God, how can I be sure? How can I know for certain? How can I trust you to keep your promise? It's a great promise. A lineage, a great nation, land. That's a great promise. And you know how sometimes we have this adage that says, sometimes if something seems to be too great, it probably is. Okay? This is a pretty fantastic promise. And Abraham was given this promise and he's waited years for it to be fulfilled. And he's worried. And he says, God, how can I know for sure? You're telling me that it's going to come through my own offspring. I am barren. My wife is barren. We haven't had children yet. And God says, here, let me show you. I know this is, let me do it this way, right? Who wants that face of God, right? Sorry. Okay, so here's the burning pot. in the middle of the night, okay, the pot represents God, who in this story is whom? The lesser king or the greater king? Would be the greater king, absolutely. This God proves to Abraham, he says, I, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God is who is in control, the only true God that there is, the God who knows everything and is all-powerful, I, this great God, am making a promise to you, O Abraham, that if I break any part of this promise, may it happen to me as to these animals. Does God ask Abraham to walk through these pieces? If you remember the story, the answer is no. God takes on all the responsibility. He takes on all the moral culpability of keeping the promise to Abraham. And so Abraham says, great. Well, I've never seen this before. This is unprecedented. The God of the universe is making this promise without any conditions on my part. He, God of the universe, takes on all the responsibility for the promise keeping. And so Abraham believes. God then says to Abraham, I just want to warn you that your children are going to be enslaved. That your children are going to be enslaved for 430 years, your descendants. And you got to wonder, what? God, you just made this awesome promise here. What do you mean my children are going to be enslaved and my descendants? Well, the Bible tells us throughout the rest of the story of Genesis that the children of Israel will end up enslaved because of the way that they mistreated the Egyptians from Abraham's day until Joseph's day. Hagar was an Egyptian. And Abraham and Sarah mistreated her. They went down to Egypt, Abraham and Sarah, and they lied to the Pharaoh twice. Isaac, Abraham's son, went down to Egypt, and he lied to the Pharaoh. Jacob, through his son Joseph, Joseph will enslave all of the Egyptians during a time of famine. When they are at their weakest, when they had nothing left to give, they had already given their money, their animals, their crops, to begin with in the time of plenty, their crops, their money, their animals, their land, and then lastly, they gave themselves into slavery. God is not a capricious God. He would not enslave or allow the children of Israel to be enslaved if they had not brought it upon themselves. So that is where we find ourselves at the end. And God says for 430 years. When we hit Exodus chapter 2, it's been about 400 years. And it says, God heard the groaning of his people, and he remembered the promise. He remembered this promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would make them into a great nation at the end of those years. And so God, who never breaks his promise, God who is almighty and all-powerful, loving and true, that God remembered his promise to his people. Now it took them, they had to live under these conditions for 400 years. Sometimes when God answers and follows through on his promises, it may seem like a long time. I know some of you have been praying for things in your life that you know that are scripture-based and that God has said, this is for you. This is a blessing for you. And you've been waiting a long time. You've been waiting a long, long time. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. God's promises are true, and He will fulfill them in His time. Don't give up on God. He's not going to give up on you. See, He's made a promise to each and every one who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A promise that does not mean a trouble-free life, but a promise of peace in your spirit. A hope that defeats all hopelessness. A strength to lift you up when you feel weak. He has made a promise. And the ultimate promise is the gift of eternal life through faith in our Lord Jesus. In this lifetime, we are not guaranteed an easy or comfortable life. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it many times again. We are usually in three stations in life. We're either in trouble or trial or distress or persecution. We're coming out of trial, distress, trouble, or some other kind of hardship. Or we're heading toward some sort of trial, hardship, struggle in life. Our moderator often says there's always something. There's always something. We are not guaranteed a trouble-free life. That is not the promise that God has made. The promise God has made is that He'll be with you. Jesus Himself, who said before He ascended into the heavens, I will be with you always until the very end of the age. For eternity, my spirit will be with you. My comfort, my peace, hope, against all odds, against loss and grief and pain. So I want to encourage you today, stand on the promises. Hold on to the promise maker, the one who says that He will see you through, and He won't give up. But He's there through thick and thin, trial, persecution, hardship. He's with you every step of the way. He is faithful and true. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You for who You are, for Your great love and Your mercy, Your grace, Your faithfulness, and for being the promise maker and the ultimate promise keeper. We thank You for these stories that You have revealed in Scripture through Your Holy Spirit to show us what kind of God You are. In these moments, as we look at Abraham's life and the promise You made to him, and as we hear 400 years later, as the children, Your children, His descendants, crying out that You remembered Your promise. And so, God, today, help us to remember Your promise, to bless, to bring peace and hope, to give us strength when we are weak. And the utmost promise that if we turn our lives over to You, that if we acknowledge our shortcomings and our failures, our sin, our pride, and our arrogance, and we repent of those things, and we turn to You and we accept Your grace and Your love and Your mercy, Your forgiveness, and Your gift of eternal life. May we hold on to that promise now and forevermore. Amen. I want to encourage you to take a stand as we close out our service here. I want to leave you with a blessing that you are going to read in your Immerse series, a blessing given to Aaron, the first high priest. The ancient blessing that God asked him to give to his people for all seasons. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.